Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mike Holmgren joins us coming up in a few minutes. Former Packer and Seahawk coach. Did you know that he was with the Seahawks for 10 years?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize it was that long.
Mm-hmm.
Green Bay, 7 years. The Seahawks, 10 years.
Because think about it. He left Green Bay.
His last year was Andy's last year there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, he left Green Bay in 99.
Yeah, 99 was his first year with Seattle, Andy Reid's first year in 1999. So, yeah, he left. So he had Doug Peterson for a number of years with Brett Favre. He's coming up in a few minutes. I do have to mention this, though, Ike. This goes to our producer, Ben Livingston. If you don't know him or you don't know the kind of guy he is, we know the kind of guy he is. Like, he's out there during – so there's candy out there. It's a sampler, right? It wasn't a Whitman sampler, but it's some type of Godiva sampler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with a bunch of different chocolates, right? And it has a chart. So it's like it's a diagram of what you take based on where it is, and it'll tell you what it is. I went, and I just grabbed – I'm like, oh, that one looks good. And I grabbed it, and it was a caramel chocolate. It was delicious. So then I grabbed another one. Oh, that looked good. Ben comes out, and he's like, I don't know how you wouldn't look at whatever pit. So Ben goes to the diagram, and then he decides what he wants. He's like, window, he's looking. He's like, oh, that one looks good right there. And before he knew what I did, he was outraged at anybody that would go up and just randomly choose a piece of chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the kind of guy Ben is. He's looking at diagrams of chocolate during the break.
Forrest Gump is an idiot.
Yeah, that's what he said. Why is that? Because life's like a box of chocolates.
Yeah.
I want to know what I'm going to get.
Well,
I'm kind of with Ben on this one.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah, because you know I'm not going to just eat anything.
You're weird with food.
Yeah.
Like I can look at the.
You're looking at chocolate and saying it's chocolate.
What's the worst
it could be?
It's a big spread. No, but you can tell which ones are a little sketchy based on like it's dark chocolate or like
right,
that one looks
like
there's
dark chocolate,
like the jelly in the middle of
right,
it.
Right. Yeah, I don't want
that or
coconut.
This.
You don't want coconut.
Right.
Why would you want the coconut? Just take what you want.
The only thing I'm eating with chocolate
caramels.
Is peanut butter and caramel. That's all I'm eating with chocolate. Nothing else.
You can figure out which one's a good one and which one's a little sketchy.
I'm going to put a nail in one of them and see if you figure it out.
Peanut butter and chocolate's delicious. I wonder if Mike Holmgren, former Seattle Seahawk and Green Bay Packers coach, and now doing a great job with Westwood One. He was on the call of the Eagles and Seahawks game as a chocolate guy. You like chocolate, Mike? What's up, man?
Well, I love chocolate, but I've been trying to get my weight down on this program we got going out here, so unfortunately I have to pass on it, but I love it.
Good for you. See, that's good. That's good self-control. I can't control myself in the holidays, Mike. It's like the one month where I let myself go and eat everything that I can, but that's
beside the point. Well, when I go in and see my little counselor there for the weigh-in each week, I neglect to tell them and I cheat just a little.
Don't we all? See, there you go.
We all do. Hey, Mike, let me ask you. I want to talk to you about a bunch of things here, but you were on the call, the Eagles and Seahawks game.
Yeah.
And not that we're freaking out here in Philly, but now we're looking ahead and it's a tough game against the Rams and the NFC at the top is very competitive right now to where a loss could put you from having a first round bye to maybe having to play wild card weekend. What did you see on Sunday night? Was it just one of those games, one of those week-to-week games, or is there maybe some reason for concern as you see it?
Well, you know, I don't see a lot of reasons for concern, although Sunday night, and, you know, Doug played for me, and I think he's one of the great young guys around. But I thought I didn't like how they attacked in the first half, the Eagles I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, Ertz didn't get a touch. Jefferson didn't get a touch. And they seemed to me, after not having seen them a lot, that they were way more conservative than what I had read about or heard about in the first half. You couple that with the unfortunate fumble on the goal line by Wentz and then not being able to finish a couple drives and the penalties, and there you have the game. You had two really good teams, I think, playing in a tough environment. Seattle's tough, as you guys know,
mm-hmm.
and the noise did bother them on a couple, two or three third down situations. But I thought, yeah, two really good teams, and I wouldn't be overly concerned. Now, I think this next week is a huge football game, though, for both those teams.
I wonder, Coach, I'm looking at the last couple of weeks with this team, And it wasn't just last week that they, when we say aggressive versus conservative, I'm assuming, at least from our end, we're thinking about going down the field a little bit more, right? Throwing the ball the field a little bit more. I'm wondering how much having Halapuli-Vaitai over there at tackle sort of prevented them. In other words, did they want to get the ball out of Carson's hands quicker versus taking shots downfield and asking that front, I mean, that O-line to block Bennett and Frank Clark coming off the edges?
You know, that's a good, very good point, and I think Clark really had a great game in your left tackle. Mm-hmm. How do you pronounce his last name?
Vaitai.
Yeah, I didn't even try to say his first name during the game. But, you know, he had a tough night now. I mean, that was hard. So, but what you do then as an offensive play caller at halftime or whenever they had to do it, you're saying, I'm having trouble with the left tackle. I'm going to help him. But that one player on defense is not going to prevent me from throwing the ball down the field, mm-hmm. which is our strength. I've got to be able to do that. So how do I protect a little bit better? And that's one thing. The other thing that I didn't mention earlier on defense, that they got in trouble a little bit on defense when they had to play man for man. And, you know, the linebacker on J.D. McKissic for a touchdown, that was a mismatch. Baldwin pretty much had his way if he was singled up. I didn't think they needed to blitz to get home. I thought their defensive line could get home. The Seahawks have really been struggling. So that was the other thing that I would have changed looking, you know, hindsight's 20/20, that I would have changed a little bit. Try and get home with four people and then play a little bit, get a little more help in the secondary.
Well, I guess we'd be remiss if we didn't ask you about the coaching aspect of the game Sunday, as well as it pertains to the two challenges in the game that Doug had, the one he had and the one he didn't have. First, your thoughts on the challenge of the spot with the Torrey Smith catch and whether or not it was a first down. And then secondly, the biggest play late in that game was the forward/illegal lateral that Russell Wilson seemingly got away with. What was your thoughts on those plays? And when you're in that situation, how do you handle that as a coach when it comes to throwing your challenge flag?
Well, they poke fun at me in Seattle a lot for being very, very, having a very poor percentage on challenges. Oh. Now, my contention is that I was right and they were wrong. You know, I mean, the officials and all that. But on that first one, he made the first down. He made the first down.
Yeah, we agreed with that.
Well, I said that on the air. I said, I don't know what they're looking at here, but he made the first down. But then they got I believe, if I remember correctly, you got a quarterback sneak that got the first down on the next play anyway, didn't he?
Yep, right.
Yeah. Now, as far as the lateral, I mean, it was such a remarkable play, and I didn't study it as much as I studied the other one. Did you guys think it was a forward lateral?
I didn't. I thought, live time coach, I thought it was a good play. And, you know, when I'm looking at it, I'm...
Live,
was,
it didn't.
Yeah, I was more amazed by the play, and I didn't see anything wrong with it. But, you know, with video and replay, we see a bunch of different replays. I guess there's an argument that could be made that it was an illegal play.
Yeah, I would say this. If it's such a big play, and that was a big play on that drive, goodness me, that what are you saving your challenges for? You know, I mean, go ahead. And I did that on occasion. I said, it might be close, but this is a big play. What I would always do, and I had people upstairs because they can see things, they can see the monitors, it wasn't like 10 guys telling me, it was one guy. It was his job. You know, coach, we should challenge this, or don't challenge this, it's good. And that was his job. And so then I kind of, you know, I would kind of do it that way. But I got to tell you a quick story. When Andy Reid was coaching Philly, he came out and we played again. He's like my adopted son, you know. So we played a game in Seahawks Stadium, and it was a big play. And the ball, it happened right in front of me, and the ball hit the ground. It must have bounced 3 feet in front of the receiver. But it was on my side, right in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy challenged that for some reason. I don't know, he challenged it. So then because they called it incomplete. Okay. He challenges it. I go, this is no sense. So they reverse it and give it to him, and they led to a touchdown. I go, how can that be? The next day, Mike Pereira, who's in charge of officials, phones me and says, I'm really sorry. I was thinking he was talking about something else. I go, what are you sorry about? He goes, well, that play, you know, when they went to review it, We showed them the play before, which had been an interception. It was the wrong play they looked at.
Wow.
So the Eagle player who intercepted the ball caught the ball. But that's the one he looked at. He didn't look at this play. I go, oh, that's going to be in my book someday. All the screw-ups by officials, I didn't get along with them very well.
And Mike, there's a lot of them. I'm talking to Mike Holmgren, and if you watch a lot of NFL, you see on a week-to-week basis, some weeks they overturn calls that you can't understand why. Some weeks they don't overturn calls, and you can't understand why. So, but what you're saying is when you're down on the field like Doug, it's tough to criticize him being down on the field. If he doesn't have a great vantage point of it, you're relying on somebody up in a booth like Doug is. So it's very difficult to know what to challenge and what not to. You're essentially just relying on somebody else.
Yeah, for the most part, unless it happens right in front of you. But you have to do that because you don't see. You might be looking someplace else. You got a million things to do, so someone has to be in charge of that and let you know. Then, if he says challenge it, then as a head coach, you have to decide. Do I want to keep my challenge? Is it that important to play? Those are the types of things that Doug has to think about, or any head coach.
What do you think of Doug as a head coach, Coach? Hey, he obviously played for you. I guess we want to get your early impressions of him and whether or not you sort of were surprised that he's made it to this level of his coaching career so fast. And then your thoughts on him as a coach in such a, what is it, year and 12 games now. Mm-hmm.
I know, it's remarkable. I'll be honest, and again, he's one of my guys. But when they hired Doug, I'm going, boy, this is pretty fast, because 5 years previous, he was coaching in high school. Mm-hmm. But what he had the advantage of working with Andy, being quality control, working with him, understanding the offense. And I think Jeffrey Lurie, who I know very well, I think after the experience with Chip and he wanted to hire, this is one man's opinion, I think he wanted to hire someone he knew, someone who was not a bombastic type of guy, who was kind of even keel and smart. Mm-hmm. And that's who we hired. And, I think what Doug has done a good job of, and I know a few of the guys on the staff, you know, Jim Schwartz, and hiring veteran guys on your staff that, you know, as a first-time head coach, you run into things and you go, man, what should I do? You can go to these guys and say, hey, you've been there. What do you think? And if he's doing that, he's being really smart. He's a smart guy. He's got a great personality. I think he relates well to the players, and he's a good offensive play caller, all those things. And my feeling is he leaves the defensive guys alone, which is a smart thing.
Hey, Mike, you obviously had Brett Favre. Some people have made comparisons with Carson Wentz and Favre, and maybe they say, well, he's Favre and Roethlisberger. When you see Carson Wentz, first of all, what do you think, and who does he remind you of?
Well, you know, that's kind of a fair comparison. I would think Carson, in fact, well, you know, it's well documented. I love Brett, and he was the most fun guy I've ever had to coach, but boy, oh boy, our years together, I'd grab him by the throat about every other day and just shake him, you know, because he was a kind of an untamed stallion at times, but super talented. Wentz, I don't think that's his personality. Now, physically, though, I see a lot of similarities. Tremendous strength, competitiveness, can run a little bit. In fact, Wentz can run a little bit more than what we ever asked Brett to run. But, yeah, no, I see the same. Look, he has money in the bank. Philadelphia now. The table is set because you got to find the quarterback. Every franchise needs the guy, and they've found him. And if he can stay healthy, this team's going to challenge every year now. Every year.
How do you like this matchup coming up Sunday, Coach? Eagles, Rams, Jared Goff, right in that same draft with Carson, taking one spot ahead of him. Big matchup this weekend in the NFC.
Oh, no, huge matchup. And consider this. Everyone said Goff was a failure and a mm-hmm. huge mistake last year. And I think it emphasizes the point, again, like with the Eagles, you have a head coach who is an offensive-minded head coach who played the quarterback position or knows the quarterback position very well. And you coach and you know how to instill confidence even through the tough times, you know, and you know how to deal with that position because it's unique. I don't care what anyone says. That guy's got to feel good, and he has to know the coach has his back, even through the tough times. And look at what Goff's doing this year. That would be a fun game to watch. And I think Both offenses are explosive. Both defenses have really good fronts that can put pressure on the quarterback. And it'll come down to, again, not unlike the Seahawks game, turnovers and dumb penalties. Avoid those things, and you got a chance to win that game. But I think two clean teams are very close.
Yeah, I tend to agree. But both of them young quarterbacks, younger head coaches, and kind of in the same spot as they get ready for the stretch run down here, the stretch. Hey, Mike, thank you so much. It was a lot of fun. I listened for Mike Holmgren on Westwood One's radio broadcast, and pleasure to have you on, Mike. Thank you.
Thanks, Coach.
Guys. I appreciate it. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.